Hello, and welcome to the Bactiguard Q1 Report 2020. Throughout the call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards, there will be a question and answer session. Today, I'm pleased to present CEO Cecilia Edström. Please go ahead with your meeting.
Thank you, operator. This is Cecilia Edström, and I also have with me our acting CFO, Lina Arvid-Rud, who'll be talking later. Good morning, and welcome to our first quarter earnings call. I hope you're all well and safe because the COVID-19 epidemic has certainly had a major and sometimes also painful impact on all of us, both as individuals and businesses. It has clearly changed our society, some more than others. Sweden, to take one, is frequently mentioned in international media and often referred to as a social experiment. Rest assured that we have definitely changed the way we interact and do business, and once the pandemic has subsided, we will all enter a new normal. Let's dive into the first quarter. For Bactiguard and many other companies, the first quarter is typically the seasonally weakest year, and we expected it to be very slow given the high volumes we delivered in the second half of last year. Little did we know then. Revenues grew by more than 40%, 42% in fact, and 36% if we adjust for currency fluctuations. The growth was primarily driven by increased demand for infection prevention and increased sales of the Bactiguard portfolio for infection protection. Our EBITDA doubled, and we generated a margin of 30%, so both growth and profitability are well in line with our financial targets. We also had a positive net profit, and for those of you who have followed us for some time, you know that we depreciate our technology with about 24 million-25 million every year, which hits the bottom line but has no effect on cash flow. Operationally, it was also a very eventful quarter. We completed the acquisition of Malaysian Vigilance by the end of February and launched Hydrocyn Aqua in Sweden in mid-March, in the middle of the escalating COVID-19 epidemic. In just a few days, we took orders of more than 20 million and in one market only. In April, we launched another product, the BIP Foley temp sensor, which combines continuous temperature monitoring with infection control, much needed in the ICUs, where constant monitoring of the temperature for critically ill patients is critical in keeping abreast with the events. At the AGM, at the end of April, the shareholders decided on a new issue of shares, which was part of the payment for the acquisition of Vigilance. Our former CEO, Christian Cage, was appointed new chairman at the same meeting. Earlier today, we announced that we have appointed or recruited Gabriella Björknert-Caracciolo as our new CFO. I'm very happy and proud that we have managed to recruit her to the management team. She is an experienced and development-oriented leader. She has very solid financial skills and extensive experience in driving business transformations. These are all very valuable qualities in the work of taking Bactiguard to the next level, which we are set to do, and we all look forward to working closely with her in the management team. We are on a journey of profitable growth. To the left in this slide, you can see that the first quarter of every year is not the strongest. In Q1 2018, we have an EBITDA margin of 6%. It increased last year to 21%, and this year we delivered 30% EBITDA margin. If you look at the trend for the full year period, you could also see that we are on a rising trend, which is driven by increased sales of our own product portfolio, but also new license business. As a reference at the bottom, you can see our financial targets, which is delivering growth of 20% and an EBITDA margin of 30%. You can see we are now well in line. Now let's take a closer look at how the coronavirus and the COVID-19 epidemic has changed the business environment and demand for our products. There are major differences in demand for medical devices and supply in the current environment. Companies that provide infection prevention, consumables, basic supplies, and intensive care equipment are experiencing a significantly higher demand, whereas companies that focus on surgical, orthopedic, and capital-intensive products and equipment are experiencing a much tougher situation and are signaling that Q2 will be the rock bottom as, for example, elective surgeries are put on hold. We, on the other hand, are experiencing increased demand for our product portfolio. To take a few examples, disinfectants, which we have recently launched, and endotracheal tubes, which are needed intubated patients in the ICU, who are also very exposed to secondary infections. If we look a little further ahead, once this crisis subsides, there will be pent-up demand for healthcare, both, of course, elective surgeries and other treatments, as the healthcare system needs to deal with the backlog that has been created in managing this crisis. That will drive demand for medical devices and consumables, continue to drive demand for medical devices and consumables. In light of these developments, the Vigilenz acquisition was very well-timed. There's a strategic fit between our portfolios and our footprint, which provides future opportunities for growth. We signed the deal in early February, closed it at the end of the month, and launched the first product in mid-March in our home market. We took one of the Vigilenz products and launched it in Sweden. At the same time, and of course, we took orders in the first few days of over 20 million in the first few days of launch. In order to manage this situation, we had to set up a niche for bringing supplies from Malaysia to the Swedish market. At the same time as we made the acquisition, we refinanced Bactiguard by a three-year term loan, so we have good financial flexibility and liquidity. When we look at Vigilenz from another angle, it can also be a very valuable test bed for developing new products and license applications. For example, Vigilenz was the cradle for the orthopedic trauma implants that we then licensed to Zimmer Biomet. We also expect to see cost synergies over time in the range of 5 million-10 million within  3 to 5 years. I would say that this isn't the greatest potential. The greatest potential is generating more top-line growth. Let's look at some trends and development for our proprietary portfolio for infection protection. COVID-19 has caused an urgent need for infection prevention. This means that there's increased demand both for ETTs and other consumables and disinfectants. In this period, we have launched two new products, which means that we have a very broad portfolio for infection control and advanced wound care, which will benefit us both in the short and in the longer term. We will be more attractive both to healthcare providers and partners as we can provide a more complete portfolio for infection control. What we also have done, both in the short and the longer term perspective, is that we've moved production closer to our end customers. Just over 5 years ago, we moved into our current headquarters and production facility. And now that we're moving home production of in Aquan and other products, this is a very good base for our expansion. And I think this is the trend that we will see among other companies as well, that they will move production closer to the end customer to avoid some of the transportation challenges we've seen as a in light of COVID-19. Moving on to our licensing business, we can also there see an increasing interest and need for infection protection. Stable recurring revenues from BD, slightly up in the first quarter, but as a general rule, they are very stable. The Zimmer Biomet project is on plan. We are currently focusing on moving forward in the regulatory process, and as we reach a certain milestones, that will deliver milestone-driven payments. And once the product reaches the market, it will generate recurring royalties to us. Looking at China and our partnership with WELLEAD Medical, the regulatory process is ongoing, and WELLEAD will be our licensed partner for the entire Bactiguard portfolio over time. The fact that we have partnership with two of the leading global medtech companies and the fact that there's an increasing interest and need for infection prevention confirms the strength of Bactiguard's technology, and I'm certain that it will pave the way for new licensing opportunities. If I summarize the first 100 days as CEO of Bactiguard, it has certainly been both eventful and challenging. COVID-19 has changed the way we operate. It has meant challenges, logistical, production-wise, and so forth, but it has also opened up new opportunities. As infection has become an increasingly urgent global issue, and I see this as an excellent opportunity for growth. We also see considerable potential for new license applications and partnership in light of this. And the acquisition of Vigilance was actually very well timed, and it's also strategically important. It has broadened our product portfolio, it has increased our footprint and delivered revenue growth. We also gained improved capacity for developing new products and license applications. We have strengthened the management team, most recently with Gabriella Caracciolo, and we are now entering a new development phase. And with that, I'd like to hand over to Lina to look a bit closer on the financial.
Thank you, Cecilia. Good morning, everyone. Let's dig into the financials in a bit more detail. On the next slide, we have our business model. It has two lines: license business and Bactiguard infection protection products. We license our unique technologies to other medical device manufacturers. This business generates upfront revenues at signing and then royalty on sales going forward. Bactiguard infection protection is a portfolio of medical consumables for infection control. This is sold through distributors and our own sales force. The Bactiguard product portfolio has now doubled in size with acquisition of Vigilance. On next, we look at the sales growth and profitability. The blue bars show the license business with BD, which is stable. It varies a bit between quarters, but is essentially very stable. The yellow bars shows the new license revenue, which is a bit lumpy initially, but will generate royalties and become more stable in the long run. The green bars show the revenue from our own product portfolio, which has become more stable in the rolling 12 perspective. The positive trend in EBITDA is an effect of good revenue development during the last year. This is explained by new license agreements, growth in BIP revenues, and also for the last quarter, the acquisition of Vigilance. Rolling 12 months EBITDA margin for the period ending March 2020 was 33%. And looking at the revenue development in Q1, revenues from BD was slightly higher than last year due to somewhat higher volumes but also a stronger dollar rate. We had no new license revenues in Q1, while last year included a revenue from the Chinese wallet agreement of 1.1 million. Sales of Bactiguard infection protection portfolio amounted to 16.2 million, compared to 3.1 million previous year. In March, Bactiguard launched the product Hydrocyn Aqua on the Swedish market. The sale got a flying start with an order intake of more than 20 million in the end of March, as the demand for disinfectants is extensive due to the COVID-19 outbreak. The graph is shown to illustrate how revenues from Bactiguard plus Vigilance would have looked if we had consolidated Vigilance already for the full year 2019. As the green bars show, the product portfolio within infection protection would have been doubled. As Cecilia mentioned, Vigilance was acquired end of February and is included in the figures for March 2020. Above the extended product portfolio, joint ventures are expected to grow faster than on a stand. Joint revenues, sorry, are expected to grow faster than on a standalone basis, as the product portfolios are complementary and can be offered throughout both companies' distribution networks. On next slide, you can see the revenue distribution between our different business lines. The bulk of revenues come from license revenues related to BD, which for the full year 2019 and also for Q1 2020 is just below 60%. We have been dependent on BD. In the past, above 90% of the revenues used to come from license revenues from BD, but we have gradually been decreasing the blue piece of pie in the chart by adding new license business, focusing on increasing the sales of our own product portfolio. Looking at the financial overview, we had revenues of just above 48 million in Q1 and reached an EBITDA margin of 30%, which we are very proud of. Again, the profit for the period was positive, 1.6 million. The depreciation of our technology is 6 million each quarter, approximately. This does not affect cash flow. And the value of our technology increases in value when we sign new license agreements and increase our own product portfolio. Operating cash flow was negative in Q1, minus 3.5 million, despite the positive earnings. This is explained by increased account receivables at the end of the quarter and a build-up of inventories to meet an increased demand for care due to COVID-19. On next page, we have an overview of our cash flow and liquidity. We have a healthy cash position of 19.7 million and an overdraft facility of 30 million. At the end of the period, the overdraft facility was unused. The cash portion of the Vigilance acquisition was financed through bank facilities provided by SEB with a term of 3 years from February 2020. At the same time, Bactiguard's existing bank facility was extended with the same tenor. And with that, I hand over to you again, Cecilia.
Thank you, Lina. So based on our performance, we are comfortable with leaving our financial targets unchanged, and focus on delivering growth of 20% and an EBITDA margin of at least 30% at the end of this year. So where will the growth come from? The growth will come from expanding sales of our BIP portfolio for infection protection across our expanded footprint that came with the Vigilenz acquisition. So you could say that we are not only international, we are more or less global, because our footprint now also includes Southeast Asia and Asia Pacific. So we will broaden the sales in the current markets. We will strengthen the clinical evidence. We also need to add one or two new markets in the EU. So we're tipping our toe in the water there for expansion in some of the markets already now, that where we've seen increasing need for infection prevention. Add to that one to two new license agreements per year, which we have a track record of delivering every year, except one since 2015. We will broaden the portfolio to develop new license applications, but also expand our BIP portfolio, both through developing our own products and potentially also making selective acquisitions. But our growth is actually bigger than that. Combating agent hospital-acquired infections and antimicrobial resistance is critically important from a global development perspective. Global health and well-being has been highlighted by the UN as one of their top priorities in reaching the sustainability goals for 2030. And there, combating antimicrobial resistance in order to fight infections is critical. To conclude, we are clearly entering a new development phase. COVID-19 has painfully changed the way we lead our day-to-day lives and the way we operate. But it has also opened up new opportunities that will remain beyond the pandemic. Infection prevention has become an increasingly urgent global issue, and for us, it's an opportunity to grow. This means that there's also considerable potential for business expansion and a new license application. The acquisition of Vigilenz was very well-timed, but not only well-timed, it's also strategically important for us as it expands our product portfolio, so we can now address all the major areas where hospital-acquired infections occur. It also means that we have increased our footprint and it has generated revenue growth. We also have improved capacity for developing new products and license applications and see that we can use Vigilenz as the testbed for doing that. We are strengthening the management team. We also have a strong board of directors, and we have a lot more medical expertise, both in our management team and on our board than we did a few years ago. And this is beginning to show in the way we deliver and communicate clinical evidence. So, I feel that we are very well prepared for entering the new development phase. So with that, I'd like to hand over to you, operator, for any questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad to register. If you would like to withdraw your question, you can do so by pressing 02. Once again, if you do have any questions for our speakers, it is 01 on your telephone keypad. And our first question comes from the line of Mats Hansen from SEB. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my questions. I have three, if I may. Firstly, is it possible for you to disclose how much of the order for Hydrocyn that was booked as revenues in Q1?
Well, Matthias, as you know, thank you for questions. You know, we took orders of more than 20 million in the first quarter, and we generated BIP revenues of just over 16 million in the quarter. If you look at how much was generated in Vigilance, that was 2.2 in the quarter for Vigilance as the local Vigilance business. So 14 million of that is related to Bactiguard. And our sales of the BIP portfolio were more or less at par with last year. So you could say that just short of half in the first quarter.
Thank you. And on Hydrocyn, given the capacity you have established now, can you just talk a little bit about how you're thinking around, you know, further launches moving forward? Would be helpful.
Yes, of course. Initially, we made all the supplies from Malaysia. We've only, to date, launched in Malaysia, which has been generating sales for a few years now, and Sweden. So, and we are currently establishing production here at our production site. So we have deliberately held off a little bit of expanding the launch until we have two facilities up and running. But we will gradually expand that going forward, and we have a few potential markets which are ready to go. So we will continue to focus on expanding in Sweden, Nordic region, and other markets in Europe, but also some markets in the Middle East where we are strong. So we will keep you posted on developments there.
Perfect. And then my last question, I mean, to me, it looks like the, at first glance at least, that the gross margin for the BIP product and the contribution from Vigilance was strong in the quarter. Is it possible to just elaborate a bit on the gross margin and what we should expect going forward here?
Yes, as you see, we have an increase in the EBITDA margin, which refers to the increased license revenue, but of course also the increased sales in our own portfolio. And as you say, we have a very good gross margin on the new products coming from the Vigilance acquisition. So, that's it.
Thank you very much. That was all from me.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Per Kulin from 84. Please go ahead to your line.
Hi, Cecilia. It's Per at 84. Couple of questions from my side. And the first one also centers around Hydrocyn. As an outsider, we basically only know that you secured the order to the Swedish police force of around 20 million and that you're starting production. I would like to hear your view on the potential of the Hydrocyn product once you're up and running. Is it 1 or 2 or 300 million Swedish in your own sales and license deals on top of that? And how does that affect your view on your financial targets? That's the first question. And then the second one is on Zimmer, where you say you are on track and you confirm the view that there should be a pent-up demand for the product once elective surgery is performed again. Has this changed Zimmer's launch plans in any way? And maybe you can shed some light upon how they reason around the launch of the sort of the new product.
Thank you, Per. Both very good questions that I will try to answer in a good way. Hydrocyn, we see great potential in Hydrocyn. It has to date, or until we launched in Sweden, been sold as an advanced wound wash, but we see that it has a much greater potential of expanding that. That it has proven to be effective against bacteria, fungi, and also previous stems of coronavirus. And we're currently testing it on SARS-CoV-2, which leads to COVID-19. So we can expand it by selling it both as a wound wash and as a disinfectant, advanced disinfectant. And it has great advantages over, for example, alcohol and chlorhexidine, which are typically used for disinfection. Those are both toxic in big quantities, whereas the active substance of hydrazine is naturally part of the body's immune system, so it's totally harmless. But also broader in terms of the efficacy on fungi and broader perspective of virus where alcohol has limitations. It's also not flammable, which means that it can be handled and managed in big quantities without causing a risk of causing fires. So the potential in the product as such is great. I think that it does have great potential. There's some limitations in how fast we can ramp up production and go forward. But let me remind you that the orders we took of 20 million in the first few days is to relatively few big customers, and we are aiming to expand that quite significantly. With respect to the Zimmer project, as I mentioned, we are in the regulatory process. We see that that is following on track. Of course, Zimmer have been hit by the postponement of elective surgeries, and those of you who follow more companies, you saw that their sales in Q1 decreased by almost 10% in the first quarter, and they're also talking about significant declines in the second quarter. Having said that, I also would like to highlight the fact that their CEO, Brian Hansen, mentioned that they are continuing to invest in strategically important innovation in the middle of this pandemic. So I see no risk of major delays in the project currently.
Okay, and you don't want to put a figure on the hydrogen potential?
No, as you know, we don't give any forecasts, but maybe a little later. But at this point in time, I'm not prepared to give you a number.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it is 01 on your telephone keypad to register for questions. And the next question comes from the line of John Priestner from Edison Investment Research. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks for taking my question, and congratulations on another set of strong results. So my first question was, will your current manufacturing facilities in Sweden and Malaysia be enough to meet the demand that you've seen for the Hydrazine Aqua? And should we expect any capital expenditure to increase your production capacity?
Thank you. Yes, we believe that we will be able to increase our production capacity to meet the demand that we see. And if there are limitations to our capacity, we can also outsource some of the production. This is not the capex needed to invest in this production is not very heavy, so we don't expect it to increase significantly. There will be some increase in cost initially, of course, in the ramp up, but no major increases in capex.
And do you see this becoming a long term revenue stream in a post COVID environment?
Absolutely. We see that there is there will be great demand. I think the pandemic will change the way we behave. Personal hygiene, infection control, will remain. So we see that there will be a long-term perspective on this and a long-term revenue stream.
And my other question was around how have you adapted with the supply chain to manufacture the hydrogen aqua in Sweden instead of as well as Malaysia? And I was just wondering if there had been any impact of COVID on your supply chain for the noble metals that are used in your BIT technology.
Two different questions that I'll try.
Yeah.
No, we have not seen any disruptions to the supply of the noble metals. With respect to hydrogen aqua, there were initially challenges with the supply, both because we had to ship the products from Malaysia, and as we all know, that transport capacity has literally disappeared overnight. We set up a private air bridge to manage that. We have also been able to source through regular channels, but they've been a bit erratic. The goods does arrive, but there's some delays. So we've been managing to maneuver in this environment and manage the supply chain of also the containers that contain the liquid. So far, no major disruptions to the business, and we continue to work with multiple sources to secure supply.
That's great, thank you. And my final question is just really around the Vigilens acquisition. I was just wondering if you could provide or to speak to how you plan to really crystallize the synergies between in this acquisition and really where you see the greatest potential for driving the top line growth.
If we look at the short-term perspective, first of all, it's selling the Vigilens portfolio products in Bactiguard's footprint, both in Europe but also in the Middle East, India, and potentially also China, and selling the Bactiguard product portfolio in Vigilens in Southeast Asia, where we start in Malaysia, where there's a proprietary sales force selling the Vigilens portfolio to the healthcare sector. So that's in the short-term perspective. In the longer-term perspective, as I mentioned, I see that there's great potential for developing new products, both that we will add to our own product portfolio, but also to develop new license applications where we could, like we did for orthopedic trauma implants, develop products that we take to a level where they may have a CE mark, and then or at a higher development level that we can then out-license to other medical device manufacturers to sell under their own brand.
That's great. Thank you. And congratulations again on a strong set of results.
Thank you.
Thank you. And a final reminder, if you do have any remaining questions, it's 01 on your telephone keypad. And we do have a follow-up question from the line of Mattias Wadsten from SEB. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, thanks. Just one more question from my end. I mean, regarding hydrogen and perhaps a more near-term question here, I mean, given presumably other actors' expansion in production capacity of disinfectants, are you continuing to see the same significant demand in the current extreme environment with COVID-19? Oh, thanks.
There is continuous need. Other manufacturers, for example, of alcohol-based disinfectants has increased. So the shortage is not as bad as it was initially. But I see that our product has great advantages over alcohol. So I see that there is very good potential also going forward.
Perfect. Thanks.
Thank you. And I have no more questions registered. I now hand back to our speakers for any closing comments.
Thank you, operator, and thank you all for participating in this earnings call. If there are further follow-up questions, please don't hesitate to contact either me or Lena. We will be available and we'll be happy to take any follow-up questions. We will be engaging in some activities arranged by various banks over the coming month or two, so there will be opportunities to meet. Next time we report results will be on the 13th of August, and in between then and now we will keep you updated on developments. So with that, I just want to conclude by saying take care, be safe, look after yourself, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.
This now concludes our conference. Thank you all for attending, and you may now disconnect.